Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we are going to be talking Atlanta Hawks basketball, NBA, playoffs, and things of that nature. So what now? Because Atlanta Hawks fans need to know the number. Call in 646-652-4479. Tonight, it's going to be a 30-minute show. It's going to be short and sweet. Have a lot going on right now, so I'm sneaking in a show on the end of this week. I'm going to try to do one next week as well, try to have a couple of guests on if I can arrange it. We're going to talk primarily Atlanta Hawks basketball. So if you're an NBA fan in general, of course, you know, definitely tune in. But if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, definitely would like to hear your thoughts, opinions, facts, figures, whatever you want to throw in. I'm not going to be too detailed in regards to numbers tonight either, because it's all about what you see. And just the situation that we're in right now as a franchise, and if you're a fan and have been a fan, whether it be 1 year, 5 years, 15 years, 30 years, it's the same thing. So, you know, it's not no need anymore to throw numbers out there, comparison and all that kind of good stuff. So 646-652-4479. Let's see. I'll go ahead and open up the chat room as well to see if I can get that opened up here. So the regular season for the Hawks ended, of course, a few days ago at the hands of the Washington Wizards, and this is despite the fact that the Hawks are very competitive. The Hawks were very competitive in the two games initially that they played in Washington. They didn't pull them out, and they were down 2-0. And all, you know, of course, the professionals. Hey, Hawks have never come back from a 0-2 series deficit before. Guess that was true, right? Come back home to Atlanta and win the next two games pretty much convincingly, right? Go back to Washington, have an opportunity again to win, and we don't. You can come back to Atlanta, and everything looks to, you know, Atlanta's advantage. So at least, you know, we'll hold home court. But as I mentioned on some social media posts earlier today, when I was actually prepping for this show tonight, I was listening to my show in March, and it was on the tail end of the losing streak that we were on, where at a certain point we were only one game above 500. And I basically had said then, there's a real good legit chance that we don't make the playoffs, and here are all the reasons why. And I'm not going to go through all the numbers and the facts and the figures and everything, but at that point during that time, was in the midst of the whole what is Bud doing with the rotations, you know, episode, all right? And we were one game above 500, and you have teams like Milwaukee right there, Miami, and yeah, all you were all bunched in there, right? And I said then what the possibilities were and how things were looking. And now here it is, as we get knocked out the first round. A lot of those things came to fruition. Okay? And again, I'm trying not to go into numbers and facts and figures. And in fact, I didn't even prep with that tonight. But one of the things was just rotations-wise. Why aren't the people who are obviously more productive than others not playing more? Okay? Simple question, easy question, fair question. But our coach could never give us a legit answer. And here it is, we go into this series where the last game of the series, you got two people scoring 70-plus points. Two people. You know how many points are in the NBA game typically, and you got two people scoring 70 points, and the one person who's arguably your best defender one-on-one-wise doesn't even play. And your other person who should be playing, who would at least be somewhat of a deterrent, doesn't even play the fourth quarter. So, again, it's one of those deals. Are the Hawks out? Are the Hawks out there to win the game? Okay. Another facet to this season that bore itself out was how many touches does the person you replace Al Horford get a night? Okay. Because their games are completely different. Okay. It's like taking the ball out of the hands of Shaquille O'Neal or Hakeem Olajuwon or Patrick Ewing or anybody else whose lives are made in the post, okay? If you never give him the opportunity to even touch the ball, to even rotate the ball if he does get double-teamed or get fouled if he makes a move or even miss a shot, maybe somebody else will get a rebound and put it back. Or maybe he himself will get an offensive rebound like Moses Malone liked to do all the time, right? But too many times during the regular season, you'd have a game where he gets 5-6 field goal attempts in a game. No, he's not his 22-year-old self, but he's also not 50 years old either. And people continue to treat this man like he's broken. And he's old and rickety or whatever. Why pay the man $70 million then if that was the case? Why is he even in the lineup at all if that was the case? Why isn't Ryan Kelly starting, for that matter, 6'4", 6'5", 2'4", 4'7", 9", in his place if he just simply is just that much of a holdup? I see DeAndre Jordan in the game in the fourth quarter, missed 43% free throws. Dwight got himself up to 53, 55, 56%. And he can't even play the fourth quarter. Interesting, isn't it? Probably not to most because it, you know, doesn't make any sense. Actually, it makes all the sense in the world. It's just Atlanta Hawks sense, okay? The other facet, of course, during this season was, you know, who's coming off the bench and who's starting. And there is the slither of playing time where coming off the losing streak, all of a sudden you got people playing more like, you know, someone called Tim Hardaway Jr. Okay. And then Taurean Prince. That combination starting, all of a sudden they started winning a little bit. But no, as soon as certain people got healthy again, all of a sudden people were back on the bench. And then it wasn't until the very end of the season where, you know, well, okay, we need to make this permanent now. But see, by then it's too late. You see what I'm saying? By then, you've given up momentum. You've given up seeding. Think about this. We hadn't beaten Washington all year. We ended up getting seeded to where we don't have home court. And home court all of a sudden mattered, didn't it? Well, you know, people would be like, well, we've lost our third home game. Well, if we had four home games instead of three, don't you think the series would have been a little bit different if we still ended up fourth seed? But what if we didn't give up 10 games this year just because of foolery? We might have been a third seed, and then who would we have been playing? We might have been the second seed, and then who we would have been playing? Those things make a difference long term, folks. 646-652-4479 is the number. So if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan and you have a thought, you have a fact, you have a figure to what you think about this season, because I'm going to just do a few things. Of course, there's a whole Paul Millsap debacle at this point now. I saw somewhere they said that he might get $41 million a year. Can anybody please legitimize? I don't care that he got 31 points in that last game, 10 rebounds. He doesn't do that all the time. He doesn't do that regularly at all. He's going to be always a consistent 17 and 7 guy for the most part, pretty much a little bit more than Al was. And people will be like, well, blah, blah. Again, you talk about teams and system and players around them. certain things work, and we're seeing that in Boston right now. You know, right now the last couple of games, of course, Al's been playing pretty decent. Is that going to be consistent all the way through these rounds? We'll see. He has a lot of pressure. Chicago was kicking their butt at one point. If Rondo hadn't gotten hurt, Celtics probably would have gotten eliminated. We all agree with that, right? 646-652-4479. So we'll see what happens in this particular series as far as Al Horford goes, okay? But at the end of the day, that couldn't be legitimized paying that man what the Celtics paying him. And we can't legitimize paying Paul. He's going to be, I mean, again, if we all really feel and believe that he's not going to get hurt the way he misses 10, 15 games, and we really feel he's going to be upper echelon, he's going to actually average 25 points instead of 18, okay? That makes a big difference, right? I just don't think you can legitimize $41 million a year. I just don't. Sorry. Because at the end of the day, look what our record was before he got hurt. And let's say if he hadn't gotten hurt, how many more games would we have really won? Think about that now. What was our record before he got hurt? Okay? If he's that much of a cog in your team and he's that go-to guy, he's that person to lean on, I'm sorry, $41 million, he's not worth it. That's just facts. I'm sorry. Of course, another facet of this whole thing is how Dennis Schroeder ended up playing. That move looked like it was definitely the right one to elevate him to starting point guard. That's for sure. Shouldn't be a question anymore to anybody out there. Because guess what? All the little give and takes that you talk about, Dennis, think about OKC and Mr. Triple-Double, right? Think about any other high-profile star in the NBA, star meaning they do stuff on a regular basis, not just every now and again, okay? One of the things I heard also on the Al Horford thing was just couldn't, the ownership and the other people in the Atlanta Hawks organization couldn't take him, keep on doing these two rebound nights. You see what I'm saying? How can you legitimize that? And then seeing what he will be when he finishes out his contract and all this money he's going to be getting, and he's not a difference maker. At a certain point, you have to be a difference maker. That's what designates someone being a superstar. If putting up the actual numbers and then making a difference on your team all the time, like James Harden does all the time. You see what I'm saying? Not just every once in a while, every other game, every fifth game. It doesn't count. It just doesn't, y'all. And you're talking about the team part of it. Well, then it's a matter of, okay, someone made the argument, well, Dwight this, Dwight that. Well, yeah, I keep saying this. Dwight can't pass the ball to himself. Now, this is another, if Dwight wasn't the person to bring in, why was he brought in? Whose decision was it? Ressler says it was his decision. So since he's the basketball guy, you see what I'm saying? Now, okay, well, Bud has this guy. Maybe he didn't want Dwight. So someone needs to take accountability for that. He's president. Wes is the GM. Somebody didn't give the right advice. If it was so hardcore that Bud's not going to change his system no matter what, although you can see Coach Popovich tweak his system per who he has on the floor, all of a sudden Tim Duncan wasn't the focal point of the offense. It was Kawhi Leonard. Huh? Okay? So why can't somebody else be the focal point of the offense? Why wasn't the pick and roll installed? That's coaching. That's all coaching. Every time Dwight gets post position and Dennis is looking dead at him and he still swings the ball from left to right. And you can see the dejection in Dwight Howard's body language and face because he's in the paint, give him the ball. This is basketball, y'all. You play to win the game. This is not rocket science. I'm tired of people making up like this is not happening. You have a center that's what he does. You want to talk about qualifying his 63% field goal percentage, he's close to the basket. Doggone it, why are you taking a three-point shot when he's right there at the basket there? This is basketball, y'all. You see what I'm saying? Because Chris Paul gets the ball to DeAndre Jordan. Conley gets the ball to Zebo and Gasol. You see what I'm saying? Everybody else who has a qualified big man, they get the ball. There's no question. Only our team does the exact opposite. And this is an 82-game season. This is basketball. I don't care if the Hawks don't practice. This is stupid to keep saying stuff like that. Because Shaq was in the game, too, at the end of the game, even though he can't hit no free throws either. Why? Because he's dominating inside. And I don't care if Dwight doesn't necessarily dominate the inside. He's still an 18-10 dude. Sorry, he is. And he's proved that way too many times during the season when he got touches. When you don't get someone the field goal attempts, he's not going to go out to the three-point line and grab the ball. He ain't Al Horford. And you see how much that worked during the years. His job is to patrol the paint. And he never really got a chance to do that. And didn't get a chance during the playoffs when it's kind of important. When you have an advantage like we did and we didn't even utilize it. It's stupid. And Bud can't argue himself out of it. 646-652-4479. Again, I'm not doing facts and figures. These are just basketball facts. Here's another one. A few years ago, Chris Humphries didn't play. Wasn't a factor because he couldn't play because he couldn't get on the court. That's not his fault. He was healthy, and we know what kind of player Chris Humphries is, right? Right? We know the energy that he brings. We know the production when he gets enough minutes where he can put upon a team, he didn't even play. Look what happened. So here's another episode with a different player. Tabo Sefolosha, healthy. But was asked 17 billion different ways. Is Tabo healthy? Is he hurt worse than we thought he was? But no, he's healthy. He's ready to go. I just feel that this group that we have playing gives us a better chance to win, even though we're not winning. How can you legitimize? I keep using that phrase, legitimize, that word, legitimize, legitimization, I'm getting angry now, that your best defensive on-the-ball player, the reason he was brought in the first place with these particular kind of situations when you have these one-on-one type of players, and he doesn't play. He doesn't play. Not that he can't play. It's not because he doesn't want to play. Someone else made that decision that he wasn't all of a sudden important in the defensive scheme going against people who obviously we don't have any players on the floor stopping them. And the one player that can doesn't even get an opportunity to slow them down. Just think about the scores. 42 points from John Wall. What if he had just scored 10 less points? What would the final possible score would have been? Would have been closer than 15 points, right? Put him on Bradley Beal for a little bit. How many more shot attempts would he not have made? I don't know. Shift the attention to Mr. Bazemore now. All season, not playing up to the contract. Eventually got to the point where he got benched permanently. Too little, too late. He did start producing a lot better. A little bit more focus it looked like, but then we get to the playoffs, and then he had that one game in the playoffs where he actually played like the Bazemore of old, and then we get 7 turnover Bazemore. We got bamboozled on that one, y'all, and it's just time that, you know, we all admit it. It is what it is. At least he got benched, but see, again, it's one of those deals where why wasn't he benched earlier in the season when it was obvious he ain't the same player or whatever was going on, and you got somebody who actually can hit some shots. Give him some more minutes. Give him some more field goal attempts. Didn't happen, though, and we lost games because of it. Not unnecessarily, I should say. THJ, don't know why he bombed in the playoffs. Wasn't like he was getting D'd up by anybody. He just didn't play well. And it happens. We can use the excuse as his first playoff experience and all that jibber jabber, but it was also Dennis. Well, no, it wasn't Dennis. Well, it was his first start, his starting experience. Dennis has playoff experience, but not starting point guard wise. Like I say, there's all kind of reasons, but none of them are excuses because it's still basketball, and on paper, we're better than most of the teams in the Eastern Conference and most of the NBA. Truth be told, 646-652-4479. I'm kind of surprised that no one chose to call in and talk, because I see all these different opinions on social media between Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and things of that nature. And I know a lot of people acknowledge that they were going to be listening in. I was figuring I would hear a couple, especially the ones who disagree with me. I was giving them a forum for them to be able to call in and actually say their piece. I wasn't gonna shoot you down. I might have. But I wasn't gonna shut you down. Okay. 646-652-4479. Maybe I'll do another show later in the week. We'll see. My schedule's pretty busy. I'll be at SunTrust Park all week. Braves are back in town. The restaurant I'm at, gonna be pretty busy, so I'll be up and running there. But you never know. I might try to find some time to get another show together. In the meantime, the Atlanta Hawks is a franchise that, you know, we play a part in the NBA history, but not the best part in the world. Again, in 40 plus years, we have one Eastern Conference final appearance, but we have nothing to show for it. And yeah, we can say, well, at least we've been to the Eastern Conference finals now. You still have teams that have never been to the Eastern Conference finals. And that is true. Like the Washington Wizards, for instance, okay, and a few other teams, okay. But there's a whole lot more that have been, and a lot of them are in our division. A lot of them are in the conference. It's been a while for some of them, but at least they've been there. We haven't even tasted it but one time and didn't have a shot then, legitimately. This team on paper this year was supposed to be different. This team definitely, again, well, at least we did prove one thing. We didn't get swept. We won two games. We could have won two games against anybody in the East, right? We beat Cleveland. And, again, that's the thing that upsets me. The top-tier teams we beat on the road show what kind of team we could be on paper if we wanted to be. And somewhere in there, between players or coaching, we didn't want to be. Because coaching goes a long way into how this season pulled up. Besides the rotations, it's just about scheme. And again, it's just basketball, y'all. It's just basketball. It's not that hard. It just isn't. And we just didn't do right by our players. And again, this goes back into who will want to come to Atlanta in this kind of situation. Whether or not Paul stays or not, they see what's going on here, and it's not right. It's not good. You see what I'm saying? So in these last 5 minutes, let's talk scenario. What happens if Paul leaves and or stays, if we sign THJ or we let him go? If Seth goes, Humphrey goes, Boos goes, you know, how are we going to rebuild this team? Because, again, that should have happened, as far as I'm concerned, this year. We should have rebuilt. We should have traded Paul and got whatever resources we could have got and paired whoever with Dwight. Okay, we had THJ on the contract, so he would have been playing. I think we could have had a competitive season anyway without Paul. I like Ilias Silver. People be like he's garbage, but he could have gave us some minutes. Between him and Moose getting equal minutes, that would replace your Paul output. It just would. I'm sorry. Okay. THJ would have had a similar season. We would have been somewhere in there. We wouldn't have did no worse than we did now. Okay. With or without Paul. This is the truth, y'all. I'm just saying. And we wouldn't have had to worry about whether or not we're going to lose him for nothing like we're going to do now. Okay. What if we do sign Paul? Okay, well, who's going to – what are they going to do with the bench, you know? You see what I'm saying? There's just so many things right now that we're just so messed up on. What are we going to do in the draft? for instance. You see what I'm saying? Because one way or the other, they got to replace Paul anyway. I don't think Paul's going to give us that much production past 34. He ain't Karl Malone. You see what I'm saying? He ain't Barkley. Barkley kept giving you good, you know, production, you know, to the very end. I don't know if Paul's going to be able to do that. I don't know if his health is going to hold up. We got 2 years of Dwight if we don't trade him, but I think we need to trade him too. If we going to let Paul walk, we need to trade him. We don't need to let Dwight finish out his career being in bum land. We don't need to do that. It's not cool. He made a decision to come back to try to win. Obviously, he was bamboozled. He was fooled. Mr. Pizza Hut convinced him somehow to come here. Talking about Grant here right now. False owner. Tell you what. So, I don't know what's going to happen. We all want to keep saying we hope for the best, but this season right here just kind of proves once and for all how much this franchise don't care about the fans. We're never going to get no real answers. Like I mentioned in my title, you know, what now? Because we deserve as fans to know. And we're never told anything. We're never given any kind of indication of direction or anything. We're just left to assume and guess. And we always have to assume for the worst because look at what has happened. Meanwhile, we see all these former Hawks all over the NBA balling out of control, right? So sad. 646-652-4479. You got one more chance to call in before I end the show. I would add 15 more minutes to the show, but I'm not going to do that tonight. And that's the other thing, of course, you know, between player development and player movement over the years, you know, it's just one of those deals where it's obvious this franchise don't care because if they did, we wouldn't just keep letting productive people. Now, the Joe Johnson thing, that's one thing. I didn't want Joe back. That's just being straight up. He's doing really good now, but what did he do as, you know, he didn't do that great in Miami, did he? Nope. You know, and at the end of the day, he didn't really do that great in New Jersey. So, like I said, numbers without – what's the word I'm looking for? Numbers without progression doesn't mean anything to me. Utah, he's actually doing something that's productive to where they're actually moving. And that's a good thing. Took him till hitting 35 years old to do it, coming off the bench, but it's happened. You see what I'm saying? So – all in all, it's I don't know what's going to happen, y'all. I'll do another show hopefully soon. But for Atlanta Hawks fans, we just have to hope for the best. But right now, I think we're in the midst of never winning. And we have to really kind of size it up like that and be like, it is what it is. Because until something drastic happens, I think we're stuck, y'all. I mean, I'm hoping Prince does well, I hope he decides to stay when it's time for his big pay today. But, again, we got a homegrown star, probably going to lose him. So that's the show for tonight. I want to thank all who did get a chance to listen in. I wish y'all had called in, though, tonight especially because I wanted to hear what you had to say. But hopefully, again, like I said, I'll do another show. Be sure to follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Be sure to, of course, always visit my website, www.imtnworldwide.com. And also subscribe to the show for free on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/imtnworldwide radio. So that way you always get an announcement of when the next show is. Again, there's going to be some new shows coming up, some new guests, all kind of cool stuff coming up, and projects. Hopefully you'll get to see some new, you'll see some new talent from the company soon. I'm actually going to be shooting very soon, new camera and everything, so be looking out for that. And we'll go from there. So in the meantime, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Go Hawks. Hey, but the Falcons, hey, football season is right around the corner. Braves back in town, they're winning, so let's go. Falcons, Hawks, Braves. Let's go, Atlanta. Peace.